strangers, thank you all so much for the positive DMs and your responses to our series of interviews. Yes, we will eventually get back to reviewing Stranger Things Season 4, don't worry. But right now I'm sitting on gold, guys. I've got all these interviews with the cast and the crew, and you need to hear those first. That's how I feel, and I'm sticking to it. On today's episode, I chat with the super fun Regina Ting Chen, who plays Counselor Kelly on Stranger Things Season 4. We talk about big 80s hair, clocks, kickboxing, and the anime Demon Slayer. Trust us, it's perfection. Stay tuned after the episode for a fun little extra chat Regina and I had after hours. That's just something special for anyone who's really dedicated and wants to listen. This is recorded via Skype, so just keep that in mind while you listen. Regina, I love you. Everyone, stay strange.
Hi, this is Regina Ting Chen. I play Counselor Kelly in Stranger Things 4, and you are listening to the Upside Down Podcast. Now, what is Miss Kelly's obsession with clocks?
Regina?
Hi!
Hey, this is Ash from the Upside Down Podcast. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I had to talk to Counselor Kelly. Something's going on there.
Oh my gosh.
You're a part of a key storyline in Stranger Things Season 4 involving Max, our beloved Max. How much, or if anything, did you know about Counselor Kelly when you auditioned for the role?
Not much at all. I just knew that I was auditioning for a nice kind of quirky counselor, and that's about it. They gave me nothing. So I kind of had to just run with whatever I felt.
So that's what the main role was that came in for you was Counselor Kelly. You weren't auditioning for something else, and then they decided, oh, she'd be great for this.
Yeah, I just didn't know which of the kids I would be working with. They changed the name.
So the names were just completely changed, or you initially thought you were going to be working with a different kid, and you ended up getting Sadie?
You know what's funny? The name, because obviously it's Max. But the original name in the sides, now that I remember, is Kate. So it's funny that, Kate Bush is on.
I know. It's like, guys, Kate Bush has other songs. There's lots of other songs out there. We got a lot going on the agenda.
I know.
I know that you're an Atlanta actress, and you have appeared in basically every local Atlanta production that's been filming. You've popped in one way or another. Had you auditioned for Stranger Things previously to getting the role of Counselor Kelly?
I think that I had one audition for a lab tech, for season one before it blew up, but that's it. I had not read for it in years, years and years and years. And then I got that and it's boom, it was meant to be.
Totally. I think a lot of folks love our friend Randy Havens, who plays Mr. Clark, who was in Stranger Things Season 1, 2, and 3. Unfortunately, he doesn't pop up in Season 4, guys. It was a bummer. But it was cool to see the gang at a new environment and a new location. And I think one of the interesting things was how Counselor Kelly is kind of in the parking lot, and she's kind of guiding the high school students where they need to go, and we see Max get off. I guess what I would say is a lot of the students at Hawkins High seem to be deeply troubled. We have Max and Chrissy and Fred. As a counselor, what was the backstory that you gave your character to try to help these students?
Well, the funny thing is that I did not know I had had so many students that were going through troubling times, because I only learned that watching the show itself.
Oh, interesting.
So in the moment, I was just right there with Max. That's it. The rest, it's like, oh my gosh, she's a bad counselor. She's not doing her job. I'm like, what is she doing? Everyone's going through the same thing.
Well, that's a question that I had, is that, you know, we see Max and she's walking into that infamous now Running Up That Hill Kate Bush song, and she passes Chrissy, and Chrissy is leaving your office and she's in hysterical and tears, and presumably she would be a little bit calmed from talking to the counselor. When you saw that, what were you thinking about your character?
You're right. That's the intro to Counselor Kelly, almost in that, right before that scene. And I was like, when I watched that, I was like, man, she's probably got a lot more on her plate that she has no idea how to handle yet. Like, what if she discovers there's this whole world, you know? I was like, at this point, she doesn't know yet. But I'm so hopeful that in season 5, she'll be part of it. Who knows?
Well, I was really worried for Counselor Kelly because I felt like she's trying really hard with Max. She's trying to really dig deep. And when you see Chrissy leaving and she's crying, you know, it looks like Counselor Kelly is facing a lot of rejection in the day from these students. She's trying to get to them and they're just not willing to let her in. They're not willing to let her help. What methods did you use to prepare to be a teenage guidance counselor? How did you go into that role?
Well, I asked around just friends and family, like how if you had a problem when you were a teenager or my teenager family members, you know, how do you like being spoken to, you know? And it's always the don't coddle me, don't patronize me, none of that. Like, talk to me like we're just two adults and you care, but never like, oh, honey, you know, like, sweetie, are you okay? It's more just let's connect and figure this out. So I took that note, and then obviously with for both Sean Levy's and the Duffer Brothers direction kind of helped me figure out my way through the rest of the scene with Max. And working with Sadie is such a blessing. Like, she's such a gem and so easy to connect with. I felt the sense of familiarity as soon as we met. So it was so effortless.
Yeah, my sister, who does a podcast with me, my co-host Tori, she's in her 20s now, but when she was in high school, she went to guidance counselors, and so when we were replaying that scene, she was like, I don't need those people knowing my business. So I was like, but if you needed help, you wouldn't, and you didn't have anyone to turn to, you wouldn't be open, and she was like, absolutely not. Like, I wouldn't tell anybody anything. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because you'd think those people would be craving connection, or they'd be craving someone to take an interest in what was going on with them. And so it's interesting that Sadie or Max had been skipping her appointments, and then I guess, you know, someone was probably like, you were like, you need to come to this appointment.
Right.
So that's a pretty interesting thing. How did it feel once you saw the whole thing put together as a whole and you realized, oh, I'm kind of a key player in a really, I would say, key storyline in season four?
I was mind blown. I'm not going to lie. Like, as I watched it, and then all the theories came out, right? And I was like, I don't trust this counselor either. Like, what is she doing? There's so many people suffering. Is she doing her, like, what's going on? It's funny because I almost forgot that was me. I just, because when I watch things, even if I'm in it or not, I watch it for the story, right? Yeah. And I guess good acting would be you don't hyper-focus on the actor. You hyper-focus on the storytelling part. So, girl, I was watching it and I was like, what is going on? The key with the necklace? Like, what's with the clock in her house? And it's funny because me, Regina, I'm obsessed with time. I have clocks on, you can't see it here, but I have clocks on every wall. There's always ticking going on in my house. So after seeing season four, it freaked me out because I'm like, Becca is in my place. I can't sleep. I had to sleep with a light on for like a week.
That's funny. We have a mascot on the show. She's been doing the show with us for 6 years. So she started off at 4 doing reviews, and now she's 9. And it's funny because, you know, after watching the season, we've never recognized so many grandfather clocks in other episodes. We were watching The Simpsons, and a grandfather clock was clinging, and she was like, what's going to happen? And I was like, nothing. It's just telling what time it is. It's nothing.
Literally, there's nothing more.
I think it's interesting that, you know, you go on to a show, probably one of the biggest shows right now or maybe ever, and you have a 2-episode arc, and then it ends up just being, you end up being this character that people are so focused on because, as you know, the episodes were released in batches. So we had a first batch, and then people had all of these theories about you, which we'll get into with the fan questions. And then the second batch came out, the final episodes, and it didn't really come back to your character as much as people were hoping. I know a lot of people were talking about how you have a bracelet on one side of your wrist, and they think that you're covering a 1 because you're secretly a host for Vecna. I don't want to go too much into that because I have some fan questions for you, but what do you think of that theory that you're secretly, your character, Mrs. Kelly, is secretly a host for Vecna?
I would love it if I was secretly a host for Vecna. Are you kidding? That, you know what? I am so impressed by the fans. They noticed everything. Like, nothing slips away. Nothing gets away from them. I'm learning so much. Like, I literally, it never stopped.
Well, I think the two big fan theories, because at the end, Lucas is reading a book to Max where the character becomes a host for something evil. So people are like, perhaps Max is going to become a host for Vecna. But that kind of seems too obvious. I feel like Counselor Kelly surviving Vecna's attack and actually being the host all along and searching for these these troubled people who need help and not helping them, hence Chrissy crying and leaving, and hence Max secretly thinking to herself, I want to trust someone, but I don't think Counselor Kelly is the person that I want to trust. Do you think you survived Vecna's attack?
I'm going to say yes, because
you're Vecna,
the fact that she wasn't there... Because Counselor Kelly kind of disappears, right, towards the end of the season. And you're like, I mean, it's not just me. It's everyone that I know and people, like the amazing fans that have reached out. It's like, what's going on? There's got to be more. And I feel like it's not a mistake.
Well, it's interesting because we see the town of Hawkins in the last episodes or the last few episodes, and it's being destroyed by Vecna. And we see the shelter that's set up at the school, and we see all the people donating. And 100% Counselor Kelly would be in the foreground doing something. But she ain't there, Regina. Where is she at?
That's what I'm wondering, too.
She's like, my body has been messed up by these children. I need to reconnect somehow. I want to go ahead and ask you some fan questions.
Go ahead.
Milt Hanson says, from a fellow Asian American woman with straight hair, did you get your hair curled or is that a wig? Counselor Kelly's hair was my dream do back in the 1980s.
That's so funny. It was all my hair. They just put it in rollers. I could not believe they got my hair that big enough. I had a little hair piece for the bangs, but that was like it. The rest was just my voluptuous 80s hair.
Did you work a lot with Sarah or with Kat?
With Kat.
Oh, she's amazing. I love her so much. When they were thinking about your hair and your look, did they go through a couple of options? Did they try it straight, or were they like, no, it's going to be big from the beginning?
Definitely big from the get-go. It was more like, let's play with how to pin it up, you know. And then for filming purposes, like if it would fall forward too much, they had to start pinning it back a little bit because there's so much movement.
I feel like it's interesting because even though during the counseling scenes we love Max, people love Sadie Sink, and you want to know what she's been up to and you know something's happening, you're like really drawn to Counselor Kelly because she's so beautiful and she's so luxurious. And she's like, she's just very put together in her life. It's almost as if someone studied what a person should look like. And made her, like, you're so perfect looking. You don't look like what I would think a guidance counselor would look like. You look more like you should be editing, like, Sassy or something, whatever the big magazine was at the time.
You crack me up. Oh, my God, you're so sweet. That's so funny.
Your character is very luxurious. When you were working with, I'm assuming, initially probably Amy Forsythe, the costumer, what kind of looks did you go for as far as that was going? Plain
it's so
Jane,
funny.
Poppy?
Across the board. Like, it was... I had so much fun. That was probably one of my favorite moments, is getting to try like 30 different outfits for the 80s. And I was surprised they chose the outfit that I got for the actual thing. But it makes sense because Counselor Kelly is like, she's kind of just this fun, wacky person, you know, someone you can trust, someone that's not too fancy. Because sometimes if I have something that's too fitted or too nice, it does for some reason appear a bit luxurious, and
yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know if it's my features or whatever it is, but I've got some like cool blues and purples I had tried on. Hopefully like I get to do that at some point because there was so much fun. I'm like, how does Amy's like, I find all kinds of stuff. It still exists. You know, you just go to thrift stores, like warehouses.
If Vecna didn't kill you, and if Vecna isn't currently using your body as a host, do you think that Ms. Kelly would have survived the attack? And if so, what do you think she's up to?
I think she would have, even as playing her, and then myself as Regina. I am a fighter. I'm a kickboxing coach, so literally, like, fight my way through the morning. But I think she would be finding her way to get back to her family or the kids. And that's the thing. Why wasn't she there at the gymnasium at the end? So there's this big question mark. I bet she's finding her way, but now I'm really, like, I'm thinking she's really sketchy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you had stated on your Instagram story before, I think a lot of magazines had come out with these theories, and you were like, okay, she's definitely sketchy. I don't know what's going on, but something's up with her. But I think for me, I didn't really know what was happening with her. And we have some fan questions that'll lead into kind of like why people thought what they thought. But when she didn't show up at that donation center or that help center, it was like, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. Something more, there's something more to the story.
She was so prominent at the beginning to help Max, so it's like, why? It would make sense if she was there at the end.
Well, not only that, but she's taking her time in the morning to get outside Hawkins and help all the new students to their classroom. She's there directing everybody. It's kind of like her internal vibe is, I'm here to help people. I want to guide you. Or I'm looking for the students that look the most depressed. Come to me.
Come hither.
Come to Miss Kelly. I will crunch you. That's what we're calling it, the crunch.
Oh, my God.
So I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this name right, but Debbie Giovenco wants to know about your watch and necklace. How many people noticed that immediately and reached out to you? Because you're wearing a giant clock on your chest, which is also, in this season, a symbol of Vecna and a connection with Vecna. Was that intentional, or was it just something kind of beautiful that they put on you?
They didn't tell me anything. They just gave me this really cute clock to wear. I was like, oh my God. And I'm a time lover. So I was like, everything makes sense here for me. But I didn't know if there was a bigger backstory to it or not. Of course, everything's hush-hush, so.
Did you notice a connection, just you, Regina, yourself, when you were watching the show and you saw it all strung together? Were you like, oh, that's interesting that they have me wearing the clock. All the people are getting sick, and I'm helping them, and Vecna uses this clock as his kind of symbol.
I actually didn't even notice. I didn't make the connection with the necklace until the fan theories came out, but definitely the big clock at her house, that just, like, stuck with me. I'm like, why that shot? Why is that there? And the ticking, like, there's got to be something.
Yeah. So Noelle says, are people meant to see you as an untrustworthy character? You know, as we've been talking about, people have theories that you're probably a part of Vecna's plan. When you were playing the character, did you feel like, I'm sure you didn't because you said you didn't know the whole plot line, you felt like Mrs. Kelly was good, right?
I think that with some of the direction I got, there was like an inkling of, you know, if I play it like you're a friend, but play it like you have a secret, you know, light directions like that. And I don't know if they had any intention or not. Again, that's in the writer's room. That's the producer's director's it. But I played it several different ways. So the way it was shot, who knows which take they cut together to piece together the entire scene. But it definitely gave strong vibes of like, wait, can I trust her? Can I not? You know?
Did you have consistent directors throughout your two episodes?
I worked with the Duffer brothers for the episode one and Sean Levy for episode three.
Oh, cool. I know that Sean plays a lot of music to get people in the mood or kind of in the vibe of the scene. Did he do that with you?
No, we just rolled right into it. Maybe that's intentional. Maybe because it's so uncertain that there really is no specific vibe yet. I feel like now that it's all done, that was intentional, that you don't know what it's supposed to feel like. And that creates that chaos inside when you watch the scene. And then she steals my keys.
To be cast on this show and to get to work with the Duffers and to work with Sean Levy, how magical was that for you? I mean, I know when you get onto a set, you're like, I'm a professional. I can't be a fan. I'm here to do my job. But internally, it must feel very creatively kind of like stimulating and fulfilling to be on a set with people that are really at the top of their game right now.
Oh, absolutely. It still feels surreal. Like, I'm just like, does this really happen? But whenever I go into anything I shoot, I just kind of forget the stakes as far as like who's there. I try not to focus on that. And I just kind of hone in on the moment, this particularly with Sadie, and just be present. Because if I think about who I'm with in the room, like actually think about it, I don't think I could walk or talk, you know? It's a dream.
When you were watching it, when it first came out, were you very excited to see how everything turned out?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to look on camera with that hair?
Luxurious, like someone who is not a guidance counselor.
You cracked me up. Yeah, I was like, oh my God, it's as big as it looked in person.
No,
you know?
It was great. I think we were all like dreaming for that hair. I think we're like with Mills Hansen, we're like, oh, those curls, so good. I assumed it was a wig. I was like, that hair is too perfect. There's no way. I should have never doubted Kat and team.
Yeah, they did an amazing job.
Okay, so Joey Avalos, he says, I don't trust you. There's more to you than just being a counselor. All of your patients are being cursed by Vecna. You're very suspicious.
Have you had any fans approach you? I mean, you look very different in person when you're not Mrs. Kelly because your hair is very flowing and straight, and it's just a different vibe. It's a different look, so you wouldn't necessarily easily be recognized. But has anybody come up to you and been like, I know what you did?
No, I've had fans reach out, you know, on Instagram and ask me, they're like, what are you up to? And I'm like, I don't know.
I like that you're responding to these fans. She's good, okay?
I try to. I can't get to all of the messages, but I'm like, I'm finding out with you guys in real time. But no, in real life, nobody. Because I look, as you said, like, I look so different compared to the show. I almost look a little older, too, on the show than I do in person. I don't know. Asians, the age is hard to tell.
The real Boogie just wants you to know that you are their favorite new character this season.
I'm going to cry. I'm really going to cry because I'm like, what an honor, like on the biggest show on Netflix.
I think it's interesting because every season we have Stranger Things and they bring in these characters, and some are for laughs, some are for drama, some are to just get crunched. We see them for like a minute. But I think what attracted people so much to your character, Miss Kelly, is that first you're trying to connect, you're trying to figure out what we're trying to figure out. Like, what is happening with Max? Like, we know something and we want to know. And so we're kind of on your side. And then you start to see him sketchy and we're like, oh, we think we know something about her. And then the show is like, we're not coming back to her. You're not going to know where she went. You're not going to know what that clock meant. There's nothing to tell. And so I think people are, like, very fascinated by you. I also think it could just be that you seem so warm on the show. I think before we started to feel like you were sketchy, in the first meeting of you, right when Max is entering, you seem very concerned for her. And also when she's getting off the bus, you seem very concerned for her. And I think that probably attracts to a lot of younger fans. Like, you know, you want someone to care about you and to make sure that you're doing okay.
Yeah, and when I shot the outside scene, the first scene with all the kids, I had so much fun filming that because the extras are bomb. Like, they are so down to participate. I was like, who's willing for me to call their name every take? And they're like, and I felt so immersed in it because that's my personality anyways. Like, I just care so much about everybody. I don't care if I know you or not. It's just being an empath. I just, like, connect already. Like, come on, let's go, you know? And then transitioning to the one-on-one with Sadie, it's like, hey, what's going on? I'm here, right here with you.
Yeah.
And then they literally took you guys from, like, really fun, caring, likable counselor to, you know, you can really connect, like, one-on-one to, like, you can't trust. That's like trauma. That's traumatizing. How can you trust anybody after that?
Yeah. How did being in the environments help you? I've been to that school in Stockbridge, the Hawkins High School location. They're actually going to demolish it this year, which is so tragic. You know, they got all that Stranger Things money and now they got to rebuild it. But being there must have felt really, I mean, it feels like it's stuck in the 80s, like that location, or at least until it comes crashing down in the next few months.
I did not know that they're taking it down.
It's tragic. How did being in that environment help your performance, if any?
You kind of get lost in the moment. Like, I traveled back in time. Mm-hmm. I'm also, like, a big sci-fi nerd, so I always feel like I'm traveling in time on, you know, random times of the day. And when I walked onto that set and just started walking as Counselor Kelly and just looking at the kids, all dressed in the right time period clothing, you just forget. You forget you're in, at the time, 2021. Like, you just get fully, I got fully immersed into it the moment I stepped on that set.
Did you film during COVID, before COVID, or after COVID?
It hit in March 2020, and I didn't film till September.
Oh,
and
happy.
And in March, yeah.
So you were getting the 3 swabs a day?
Yes, that was fun.
So yep. you're into sci-fi. That's going to lead me into our next kind of section. We have a thing where we say get to know you, and it's kind of where fans get to know you outside of Stranger Things. And they're just a couple of quick questions, such as, you know, what's your favorite food? What do you like to eat?
I actually went vegan a year ago, and I absolutely love it. Oh gosh, it's funny because I actually eat fries more than anything now. You know, you got to make sure they're vegan, like cooked in regular oil and stuff. But I love French fries. Like, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, snack, midnight snack, all of it. Like, I love fries.
I love that you're vegan. Everyone who listens to the podcast knows that we're big vegans, and one of our biggest gripes is when Stranger Things merch comes out, there's never anything for vegans, and we're like, Nike's leather shoes, Burger King is burgers, and this season they've gone out of their way to do a lot of partnerships with vegan food companies, and we were just like, this is amazing.
I mean, I'm only a year in, and yeah, a lot of that time was learning how to cook, you know, in the vegan world. But I also train a lot. Like, I do kickboxing and play a lot of tennis, so I try to eat very clean as well, so I have maximum energy. So I eat, like, you know, the boring stuff.
What got you into, like, kickboxing? What made you attracted to that? Because you said you're also a coach, right?
Yeah, it's funny because I, you know, in acting, years ago now, but one of the directors that I worked on an indie project with, he was like, Regina, you don't know how your body moves at all. Like, you have no idea of, like, self-awareness with your body. Because I didn't grow up in fitness or an athlete. I was kind of chubby growing up and all that good stuff. And he's like, you should try either kickboxing or salsa dancing to learn movement. You know, to study that. I was like, you know what? I feel like kickboxing is where it's at just because, like, I'm Asian and I want to, like, dig deep and see if I could be a fighter or something in there. And, oh, my God, I was horrible my first day. I still have the video. I was so bad the coach had to film me. And he's like, one day you'll look back at this and laugh at it and appreciate that you started here. And I was like, it's so hard to do a punch after the jump. I was like, do jab cross, what? You know, and, like, 5 years later, actually 3 years after that, I obsessed over it. Like, I would just throw a jab every single day for like an hour or two until my coach was happy with it. I'm one of those people, I learn slowly, so I have to work so much harder to just get to the next level. But I am not afraid to bust my ass.
What I'm hearing is that Regina has been trained to be a host for Vecna and is able to do many a fight scene in season 5. We are going to get some epic, what is that movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once kind of fight scenes happening. Let's bring that on.
Let's manifest this. I love it because it, you know, and it led me to becoming a coach because I realized when you do kickboxing, it becomes, I understand movement and I understand, like, you know, it's a good fitness thing, but I also used it to, oh my God, I'm starting to sound like I could control people. Like, as a coach, I want to inspire people to do better and, like, reach their potential, and I control what they do. Oh my God! Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What is happening? Are you figuring this out in real life?
Like, I think so. I think I figured it out. Duffers, call me. This is interesting. I was watching Demon Slayer. We're, like, really into Demon Slayer right now, which, for anyone who doesn't know, is an anime from, I think, Japan. I'm not sure, but it's great. And in season 2, Mugen Train, I just learned today I was saying it wrong forever. It has these, like, crazy tentacle things. It looks like the Demogorgon is coming on the train. And you were like, oh, that's so great. Are you into a lot of anime? Like, what kind of things are you watching right now on film and television?
Oh, my gosh. I love this question. I actually don't watch a lot of anime, but the shows that I've watched, like, okay, I've watched My Hero Academia 3 times. Love that. But Demon Slayer, one of my best friends was like, you got to watch this show. It's so good. The artwork is amazing, and you'll just love, like, that kind of vibe. And I watched it, and I was hooked. Oh, my God. Like, it is unreal. It's probably one of my top favorite shows. One Punch Man was really good. I don't know if you've seen those as well, but Demon Slayer is just another level of, like, the stakes are so high, and I'm also, like, surprised how people get beat up so bad and they don't die. I don't understand that part. I don't know if, okay, you say you're in season 2.
I've seen season 3 where he's, like, flashy. They were saying that Tanjiro had a head made of steel, and I was like, yes. Oh, okay, so that's why he continually bashes his head, and he's like, phase 4, breathing, and I'm like, why is he not dead? He's not even been breathing for 3 minutes. What's happening?
It's total concentration breathing, and it's so funny because I watch this stuff, and then I'll take it to my kickboxing classes. I'm like, you guys, you know, total concentration, breathing, let's go. And then, like, I don't know, what's his name? The Demon Slayer who's the Hashira with the flames.
Rengoku. Rengoku. Yeah, we just watched that today.
When he fires it up, he's like, set your heart ablaze. And, like, those little moments are just, like, they just fire me up so much. It's so great.
I don't remember him saying that, but I remember him always being, like, tasty.
He does say that a lot in a weird way.
So other than anime, are there any other films or television shows that you're watching right now that you would recommend for, we call them strangers, people that listen to the podcast?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm a big sci-fi nerd. I love Doctor Who. That's my number one favorite. I carry a sonic screwdriver with me in my backpack all the time. Love everything Star Wars. And if anyone is a Star Wars fan, if you haven't seen the animations, I feel like that's where it's at. That's where so much of the backstory and character development lives. Like Rebels and Clone Wars, like they're just all, I'm watching Bad Batch right now and it's so good. Let's see what else. The Expanse is really good. Mm-hmm. That's such a good, it's a slow build, but it's like space and futuristic and such good story. Sorry, I'm so excited. The Magicians.
I've heard that's really good. I haven't seen it, though.
It is really good. Yeah, I love that show. And also The Umbrella Academy. So anything, you know, in those worlds, I just love it. I like traveling through time.
Have you seen Death Note?
No.
So that's a really popular anime, and the reason that I asked is because it was just recently announced that the Duffers are going to be rewriting that, and they are going to be making a version of Death Note, and so I feel like a lot of people are going to be flocking to that now, because it's so popular. We were going to watch it, we haven't seen all of it, but then we were watching Demon Slayer, and that was just like, you know, those episodes be long.
They are long, but they're so good, and then the friendship between the three boys, it's like, I'm trying to remember, Inosuke, Tanjiro, and, oh my god!
Is it Tenetsu?
Yes, the one who's like, can only fight when he's
sleeping with a bubble from his nose. It's so gross.
Okay, to me, one of the scariest villains on that was the spider guy who can slice you with a spider web.
Oh, yeah, he was creepy.
Okay. Yeah, like,
the one all in white, the one who was, like, just terrifying his sister.
Right, the small one who was like, like, just like, what? How is he not the top villain?
Guys, this is now a Demon Slayer podcast. You're just going to have to come along. You're just going to have to come along for the ride. You're just going to have to listen and love it. I would say that my favorite Demon Slayer villain is probably on the District Arcs section, which is the one that Flashy fights, the guy who saves his sister, who's got that creepy voice. Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much. We're rewatching it right now, and I'm kind of dreading getting to that season because I don't want to hear that.
All the villains' backstories are so sad, though. Like, you relate to all of them, and I think that's a really beautiful, like, storytelling work.
I'm going to tie it back. I'm going to bring it back around. So,
yes.
Demon Slayer, all the villains are tragic, but there's a reason, or they're horrible, but there's a reason that they're horrible, which is, like, our favorite character, Billy. Billy is horrible, but there's a reason that he's horrible, guys. He has terrible parents. So, there, we did it. Regina, we brought it back around. Yes. Stranger Things.
Yes. Thank you, Regina.
You are a counselor, and we have a lot of younger listeners, tweens and teens, that want to be in the industry. They want to be actors, or they want to somehow be involved. They're pretty much like, how can you get me on Stranger Things? But I digress. For those who are really interested in the craft, what advice would you give those people?
Take class and start making stuff. Like, iPhones are so high-tech now, you can literally shoot. I shot a little trailer thing just for fun for my cousin's, one of his film class, and it was horrible. Don't get me wrong.
They were like, is that Counselor Kelly?
I know. Actually, his teacher said that. His teacher was like, that person looks familiar, and then they figured it out. Oh, my God, it was crazy. But I know. They're like, it's not fair you hired a professional actor to be on your first school project. Like, hey, I didn't get paid for that. But, yeah, I would say start right away. Don't wait to do something. The thing about the craft or anything creative is if you wait till you're ready, it's just never going to happen because that's that perfectionist mindset, right? The beauty of it is just falling freely and finding it as you go. So I think, take classes and start making stuff and you'll meet the right people. It'll take you to, if you are like on that path, you'll meet the right people and it'll take you to the next step.
It's kind of like someone told me once, you know, the reason that I'm successful isn't that I am smarter than anyone or better than anyone or more talented than anyone. It's that I just kept doing it. I just kept doing it. And eventually you'll find yourself at the right place at the right time. But if you give up, that magic or that spark is just never going to happen. So if you really love it, just keep doing it. And, it will come around to fruition. Like you're saying, if there was a role that you could play in Stranger Things, either currently existing, not Miss Kelly, or one that you could make up for yourself, someone in the future, what would that be?
I actually still love the idea that I would be part of the Hawkins storyline, but I want to have joined the gang somehow and fight with them, because that it's so simple. But I would love to just be a part of, you know, Steve gets to do all the fun things with the kids. And, I, you know, obviously Counselor Kelly is older than Steve. She's the actual counselor, part of the faculty. But I would love to be a character who has to join in on the fight. Now, being a villain would be so much fun. Like, it's so opposite who I stand for. But that's the beauty of film and television or acting, right? There's technically no consequences until you realize something bad about yourself, maybe. But yeah, that would be so fun.
Well, I see two paths for Miss Kelly. Well, I see three paths. One, she did. We don't like that path. The other path I see is the path where she is Vecna and she is his host and does amazing fight scenes in season 5, and we're very excited for that if that was to happen. And then the third is that maybe she survived, but she's so stressed out by the fact that all of the teens that she has counseled have been crunched, and Max survived. Max has lived. And I can see her dedicating a lot of her time to visiting Max in the hospital and talking to Max and trying to reach Max. And so maybe she could have that kind of connection where she joins the kids. Kind of like a Mr. Clark thing where he's at home chilling on his date and then Dustin's calling him for advice. Maybe that's your path into the gang, is via helping Max, like, connect somehow. If you had to pick good Counselor Kelly, bad Counselor Kelly, which one do you think you would do?
Well, based on all my answers to your questions, of course it's bad Counselor Kelly.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
I need a fight scene, Ash. I need a good fight scene. All this training I'm doing.
I think so, too.
It's got to be for something.
The more I think about it, the more I'm like, this is the way that it has to go. And any other scenario, I'm not going to be satisfied with.
How do we get her in the writer's room, guys?
What'll be hilarious, though, is if you are there and you're, like, counseling Max and you're trying to get her better, people are just going to go, oh, no, she's trying to dig deeper into her mind. She's trying to do something bad. I don't think they'll ever see you, like, people think what they think. So I hope you survived. I guess I'll ask you the question that you've probably heard a million times, but I'm going to ask you again. If you were personally to be pulled up into the air by Vecna, what would your song be to save you?
I'm still obsessed with Blinding Lights. Like, I know that's like the trendiest, most popular song, but I love that song so much.
You like what you like. What other kind of music do you listen to?
Okay, I mean, mostly it's like electronic dance music because of working out. Like, it just gets me going. And then like really, really epic. Do you ever listen to epic movie trailer songs? They like turn, oh my gosh. Those are so good. Like, when I'm driving, you know, it could be such a boring drive, but I'm like, no, I'm driving to fight a war right now.
Well, it was rad talking to you today. Do you have anything that you want to plug that you're allowed to talk about?
No, I'm all good. I appreciate you and everybody and all the fans, and hoping for an awesome storyline build to Miss Kelly.
I hope so, too. I think that, and you know what? Even if Miss Kelly doesn't come back, but she will, even if she doesn't come back, I think that, you know, it's really cool that you're a part of this, like, mega universe. And especially now that we know that you're such a huge sci-fi fan, you've joined a great show, but you've also joined one of the most sci-fi horror seasons that they've done, with the biggest special effects. So the only thing they haven't really done yet is, and I kind of did a little this season, was time travel. So I'm really hoping for that in season 5. But it was awesome talking to you. You're rad. If people don't know how to follow you on social media, where can they connect with you?
Just on Instagram, Regina Tang Chen.
Cool.
Come hit me up. Stay strange, warriors.
Thanks for listening to the Upside Down podcast, hosted by sisters Ash and Tori. For more information, visit our website at theupsidedownpod.com. You can also contact us at theupsidedownpod@gmail.com, as well as follow us on our Facebook and Instagram under the Upside Down podcast. Episodes are released every other Monday, so be sure to subscribe. If you love the podcast, be sure to review us on whatever you listen to us on. Thanks again. Stay strange.
Hey, best friend, how are you?
Hey, girl. Oh, my God. I was still laughing about how I accidentally said love you.
You and I talked the other day. We had a lot of fun. And
yes.
The main question that I always ask cast members that I just completely slipped my mind to ask you, can you tell me, how did you get into acting? What made you want to be a creative person?
The main reason is because my non-English speaking immigrant grandmother was so scared to ever leave her house. So she just didn't even get to experience the new place. And I made it a mission to basically tell her about my day every single day and have her live vicariously through me. And oftentimes, like, you know, daily stories are not that interesting. Like, I went to school, so I would embellish it. And I would do everything I can to try to make her laugh or cry or just to feel everything that I went through, whether it was real or not. And little did I realize, like, that was the beginning of my love for storytelling, my love for having her connect through me and live through that together. Because she was so scared to leave the house. It's so cute. It's so sad, but so cute. And the other reason is I used to, you know, Chinese traditional family, you know, we have to study math and science and you can't do the drama arts. So they at least let me put on talent shows at home to just my few family members. And it would be like on, you know, Christmas, Father's Day, Mother's Day, stuff like that. And I would use my failed science boards and wardrobe from like history projects, you know, and I would choreograph a dance or some kind of play and recruit my sisters to do it with me. And none of them ever liked doing it. Like, till this day, I'm slightly bitter about it. But I understand that's not what they love. It was something I loved. But I would put together shows and then create a little program and have them all show up at 7 and then put on the show and then expect them to clap, you know, at the end because my performance was amazing. That hasn't changed too much yet now that I'm an adult, but, you know. But, yeah, those are the main reasons on why and how I got into acting. But my grandma is the key player. She just passed 2 years ago, so that was quite the heartbreak, but I will still continue to tell stories and somehow in some way make her laugh or cry or whatever it is somewhere out there.
So I love that. When your grandmother heard those stories, did it encourage her to come out into the world? Was she more excited? Did it work?
It did not work in a way of her wanting to leave. All she wanted was to just keep hearing my stories. Like every day when I came back, she's like, "What happened?" And even as I, like, graduated and I was in college and then afterwards in the corporate world, every time I went to visit her, Ting, my Chinese name, she's like, "So, how's it going? What happened lately? You know, what's the latest thing?" Because she knew I would always be able to make her laugh. And I don't know if she, like, knew that some of this stuff was made up. Maybe she was smart, but it didn't matter. Like, it was the bond, you know?
Totally. I'm bummed to hear that she passed. I'm sorry to hear that, but I bet she sounds like she was a lot of fun. You've been acting for a long time. Did she get the opportunity to see you in something big? Was she thrilled?
You know, it's funny because till when she died, I'm pretty sure she was like, "Man, that's a cool hobby. Like, you should really quit." And then I would show her clips of things I did, and she'd be like, "That's not you. Like, why do you look like that?" Like, okay, Grandma, so we're just going to stick to the storytelling of my day and then, like, not worry about the cool stuff I'm doing.
You're like, "I'm acting. It's acting."
Seriously. But I don't know. That was just, it was our little thing, and it's special and dear to my heart. And I'm not a super cheesy person, but that, when it comes to her, it's like, she was everything. I'm so creepy. Oh my God. After she died, I'm such a weird, creepy person. Like, after she died, I made lapel pins of her picture because that's how much she means to me. And I pinned it on my backpack right above my Stranger Things pins. And I carry my backpack with me everywhere.
That's not so crazy. When our dog died, our family dog, Maggie, we put it on little pins. We also did little lapel pins also. Same thing, because I was like, she's not here, but I feel like I want her to be with me, and so I also have those little pins, so when you said it, I was like, that's not so crazy, that sounds fine.
I am so excited that you just told me that, because some people look at me and they're like, "What are you doing?" But you get it.
I totally get it.
I adore you so much. I understand, and that's such a great idea. I'm going to do that too.